Jana Balava Girivara Dari Gopi Jana Balava Girivara Dari Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Havana Chariya Jamuna Tira Vanacharya Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Viharija Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanacharya Jamuna Tira Vanacharya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Kunja Vihari Jaya Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Teva Jaya Jaya Asto Tara Shata Sri Shrimad Divine Grace Abhai Chana Vrindavasa Vidanta Sankhya Ananda Koti Vaishnava Vrindaki Jaya Haridas Thakur Ki Jaya Prem Se Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Arvaita Garada Shri Vasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jaya Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopina Chamakunda Radha Kunda Guru Guvadam Ki Jaya Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jaya Shri Rangamai Ki Jaya Shri Jangamai Ki Jaya Shri Madhukasa Devamaya Ki Jaya Zvan Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The Lordship Sri Sri Radhasham Sundar Ki Jai. The Lordship Sri Sri Krishna Balaram Ki Jai. The Lordship Sri Sri Gaunitai Ki Jai. The Lordship Sri Sri Lakshmini Shingadev Ki Jai. Iskandu Ramanrati Dham Ki Jai. And the Gaur Primanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Guru and Guru. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we'll be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, and also their also auspicious day with the appearance of three personalities and the disappearance of one, so we can say something on these personalities also. So today we'll be doing Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 9, entitled Answers by Citing the Lord's Version. Text 35. Yata mahanti bhutani, bhote isu chavasheshvanu, pravishtani pravishtani, tata teshu nateshaham. Yata mahanti bhutani, bhuteshu vachat, bhuteshu chavashesh anu, pravishtani pravishtani, tata teshu natesham. Yata mahanti bhutani, bhuteshu chavasheshanu, pravishtani apravishtani, tata teshu natesham. Please chant. Yata mahanti bhutani, bhuteshu chavasheshvanu, pravishtani apravishtani, tata teshu nateshvaham. Yata mahanti bhutani, bhuteshu chavasheshvanu, pravishtani pravishtani, tata teshu nateshvaham. Ladies. Yata mahanti bhutani, bhuteshu chavasheshvanu, pravishtani apravishtani, tata teshu nateshvaham. Yata, just as, mahanti, the universal, bhutani, elements, bhuteshu uchavacheshu, in the minute and gigantic, anu, after, pravishtani, entered, apravishtani, not entered, tata, so, teshu, in them, na, not, teshu, in them, aham, myself. Translation and purport by Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. O Brahma, please know that the universal elements enter into the cosmos and at the same time do not enter into the cosmos. Similarly, I myself also exist within everything created, and at the same time, I'm outside of everything. So there's a pretty long purport. The great elements of material creation, namely earth, water, fire, air, and ether, all enter into the body of all manifested entities. The seas, mountains, aquatics, plants, reptiles, birds, beasts, human beings, demigods, and everyone materially manifested. And at the same time, such elements are differently situated. In the developed stage of consciousness, the human beings can study both physiological and physical science, but the basic principle of such sciences are nothing but the material elements and nothing more. The body of the human being and the body of the mountain, as also the bodies of the demigods, including Brahma, are all of the same ingredients, earth, water, etc. And at the same time, the elements are beyond the body. The elements were created first, and therefore they entered into the bodily construction later. But in both circumstances, they entered the cosmos and also did not enter. Similarly, the Supreme Lord, by his different energies, namely the internal and external, is within everything in the manifested cosmos. And at the same time, he is outside of everything, situated in the kingdom of God, Vaikuntha, as described above. This is very nicely stated in the Brahma Samhita 5:37 as follows. Ananda chinmaya rasa pratibhavita bis tadirya eva nijarupataya kalabihi goloka eva vinasatyakilatma bhuto govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. I worship the personality of Godhead, Govinda, who, by expansion of his internal potency of transcendental existence, knowledge and bliss, enjoys in his own and expanded forms. Simultaneously, he enters into every atom of the creation. This expansion of his plenary parts is also more definitely explained in the same Brahma Samhita 5:35 as follows. Eko pyaso rachitam ajagad nanda kotim yachaktirasti jagadanda yacharayadanta andantarasta paramanu chayantarastam govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. I worship the personality of Godhead, Govinda, who, by one of his plenary portions, enters into the existence of every universe and every particle of the atoms, and thus unlimitedly manifests his infinite energy all over the material creation. The impersonalists can imagine or even perceive that the Supreme Brahman is thus all-pervading, and therefore they conclude that there is no possibility of his personal form. Herein lies the mystery of this transcendental knowledge. This mystery is transcendental love of Godhead. And one who is surcharged with such transcendental love of Godhead can without difficulty see the personality of Godhead in every atom and every movable or immovable object. And at the same time, he can see the personality of Godhead in his own abode, Goloka, enjoying eternal pastimes with his eternal associates, who are also expansions of his transcendental existence. This vision is the real mystery of spiritual knowledge, as stated by the Lord in the beginning, Sarahasyam Tad Angam Cha. This mystery is the most confidential part of the knowledge of the Supreme, and it is impossible for the mental speculators to discover by dint of intellectual gymnastics. The mystery can be revealed through the process recommended by Brahmaji in his Brahma Samhita 5.38 as follows. Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena Santa Sadaiva Hridayeshu Vilokayanti Shamsama Sundaram Achincha Guna Swarupam Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. I worship the original personality of Godhead, Govinda, whom the pure devotees, their eyes smeared with the ointment of love of Godhead, always observe within their hearts. This Govinda, the original personality of Godhead, is Shama Sundar with all transcendental qualities. Therefore, although he is present in every atom, the Supreme Personality of Godhead may not be visible to the dry speculators. Still, the mystery is unfolded before the eyes of the pure devotees because their eyes are anointed with love of Godhead. And this love of Godhead can be attained only by the practice of transcendental loving service to the Lord and nothing else. The vision of the devotees is not ordinary. It is purified by the process of devotional service. In other words, as the universal elements are both within and without, similarly, the Lord's name, form, quality, pastimes, entourage, etc., as they are described in the revealed scriptures or as performed in the Vaikuntha lokas, far, far beyond the material cosmic manifestation, are factually being televised in the heart of the devotee. The man with a poor fund of knowledge cannot understand, although by material science one can see things far away by means of television, factually the spiritually developed person is able to have the mystery of knowledge of the personality of Godhead. The Lord can award anyone and everyone liberation, mukti, from the bondage of material existence, yet he rarely awards the privilege of love of Godhead, as confirmed by Narada, muktim dadati karhichits smanabhakti yogam. This transcendental devotional service of the Lord is so wonderful that the occupation keeps the deserving devotee always wrapped in psychological activities without deviation from the absolute touch. Thus, love of Godhead developed in the heart of the devotee is a great mystery. Brahmaji previously told Narad that the desires of Brahmaji are never unfulfilled because he is always absorbed in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Nor has he any desire in his heart save and except the transcendental service of the Lord. That is the beauty and mystery of the process of Bhakti Yoga. As the Lord's desire is infallible because he is a Achyuta, similarly, the desires of the devotees in the transcendental service of the Lord are also Achyuta, infallible. This is very difficult, however, for the layman to understand without knowledge of the mystery of devotional service, as it is very difficult to know the potency of touchstone. As touchstone is rarely found, a pure devotee of the Lord is also rarely to be seen, even amongst millions of liberated souls. Koteshwapi Mahamune. Out of all kinds of perfections attained by the process of knowledge, yoga perfection in devotional service is the highest of all and the most mysterious also, even more mysterious than the eight kinds of mystic perfection attained by this process of yogic performances. In the Bhagavad Gita 8.64, the Lord therefore advised Arjuna about this Bhakti Yoga. Sarva guyat manam buya shrinu me paramam vacha. Just hear from me again about the most confidential part of the instructions in Bhagavad Gita. The same was confirmed by Brahmaji to Narada in the following words: Idam Bhagavatam Nama Yan Me Bhagavatoditam Sangraho Yam Vibhuti Nam Twametad Vipulikuru. Brahmaji said to Narada, whatever I have spoken to you about the Bhagavatam was explained to me by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and I am advising you to expand these topics nicely so that people may easily understand the mysterious Bhakti Yoga by transcendental loving service to the Lord. It is to be noted here that the mystery of Bhakti Yoga was disclosed to Brahmaji by the Lord himself. Brahmaji explained the same mystery to Narada. Narada explained it to Vyasa. Vyasa explained it to Sukadeva Goswami. And that same knowledge is coming down in the unalloyed chain of disciplic succession. If one is fortunate enough to have received the knowledge in the transcendental disciplic succession, surely he will have the chance to understand the mystery of the Lord and that of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the sound incarnation of the Lord. Om Agyana Timrandasya Agyana Jana Shalakya Chakshuru Maitami Natasmai Shuguru Pinamah Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Shumati Shira Vurao Prabhuti Namami Sri Sri Vrindata Vivira Padapad Bankajaydaini Prabhupada Naubadaya Namah Shiva Bhavi Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Shumati Bhakti Vedanta Samaniti Namami Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pucharani Nirvishesha Sanyavadi Pastati Deshitarani Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shravasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So today's purport is very extended, so what I'll do, I'll break it into three elements or items as described here. So the first part, what is discussed is how the universal elements enter into the cosmos and at the same time how they do not enter. The second is how the Lord also entered into the creation, and how at the same time he does not enter. And third, how can we understand this whole creation and this mystery of Bhakti Yoga, of the transcendental nature of the Lord? So as the Lord describes in the Bhagavad Gita 4:9, Janma karma chame divyam evam yo viditat pataha deham purnam dham janma naiti mamiti so arjuna. So he says that one who understands the transcendental nature of my birth and activities upon leaving this world does not return, O Arjuna. So this is giving the process. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying how to what to do to achieve it. That to understand the Lord, to go back to Godhead, we need to understand his birth and his activities. So, and in this verse, Krishna is saying how to do that. Bhagavad Gita, he says what to do. And here in the Bhagavatam, he says how to do it. So, in this verse here today, which is the third of the four Chaturshloki verses, that after questions by Lord Rama, the Lord is answering, and he answered these in these four verses in a nutshell, and here Lord Brahma is indicating to Narada that now you expand on this. So, this verse is saying, Yata Mahanti Bhutani, that just as Mahanti, the universal, Bhutani, the elements, And Bhuteshu Ucha Avacheshu Pravistani Apravistani and Teshu Nateshu Aham. So it's very complex how these words are put together, that Yata, thus, Mahanti, the universal elements, Bhutani, Mahanti Bhutani, the universal elements, that Teshu Pravishtani, that they enter into the material cosmos, at the same time, Nateshu Apravishtani, that they do not enter. So, it sounds complicated, but for a devotee, we have our basic philosophy as Lord Chaitanya gave us, that this, our philosophy is achinta beda abeda tattva, that is simultaneously one and different. So if we accept that conclusion of Lord Chaitanya, accept that instruction, accept that guidance, then everything else within our practice of devotional service becomes very easy. So here, the Lord is explained to Lord Brahma that Mahanti Bhutani, that this universal element, that they enter into this cosmic manifestation, Pravishtani, Teshu Pravishtani. At the same time, these elements does not enter, they're outside. And not only that, but he himself, Aham, he says, I also enter into this creation. At the same time, I do not enter, I'm outside. So, to understand this, Srila Prabhupada gave this extended purport, that, first of all, the cosmic creation is this manifested material world, it's the cosmic manifestation. So, and these elements, these five elements are earth, water, fire, air, and ether. These are the five elements that, by the Lord's arrangement, they enter into the cosmic manifestation and transformed into these different formations, like these different bodies. For example, we have our bodies. If this body is broken down, it's going to be back into these five elements. But in this form, it functions in a certain way. So it's these five elements that comes in this form. And they manifest in every form. They, with their combination, it gets into so many different forms in this material world. So here it says, Bhuteshu Ucha Avacheshu, that Bhuteshu, the elements, and Ucha, that from the smallest body, Avacheshu, to the most gigantic form, from the ocean, the mountain, the seas, Lord Brahma, all the demigods, the living entities, down to the insignificant ant. It's all a transformation. If broken down, it's nothing more but a transformation of these five elements. The earth, water, fire, air, and ether. So, how is it that these elements enter into this cosmos and at the same time they do not enter? So these elements, they are first created before the cosmic manifestation. So they are first created and then enter into these bodies. So as they enter into these bodies to get these different formations, they do not dissolve their identity. They still remain, these five elements still remain as individual elements. So that way, when they enter and they have this combination of different forms in this material world, you can still see which ones you can perceive that the raw elements are there. Like here we have this building, we have the floor, we have so many bodies. But if you step outside, you'll still find earth is there. You can still find the raw material of water, fire, air, and ether. They're still there in their original form. So that way, or acharyas describe that they're outside in that they remain in their original status, and they're also inside in that they combine into this material form. They combine into these elements, into these different formations in the material cosmos. So like that. And so here it's stated also in these beautiful verses from the Brahma Samhita that not only these elements, but the Lord also, he also does a similar thing, that he enter into this creation, and at the same time he does not enter. So how do we understand that? Here it is stated in this verse in the Brahma Samhita that there are three Vishnus, manifested Vishnus. So first of all, just like the material energy is divided, we have three categories of the material energy. What are they? The mode of goodness, passion, and ignorance. So Satogun, Rajagun, and Tamagun. So similarly, the spiritual energy of the Lord also is divided into three categories. It's Samvit, Sandini, and Ladini, Shaktis of the Lord. So when the Lord manifested, for this cosmic manifestation, there are three Vishnus, which is Karanadakashai Vishnu, which is also known as the Mahavishnu, which manifests that expansion of the Lord is what manifested this whole material cosmic creation. Then he further expands into Garbhadakashai Vishnu, which enters into each planet and develops these planets. Without that energy, the cosmic manifestation, all these planets will not be developed. Just like we, that if our soul leaves our body, what happens? The body deteriorates, dwindles, and dies. But because of the presence of the soul that the body develops from boyhood to youth to old age, so like that, because of the presence of the Lord, that these cosmic, all these individual planets develop. And then he further manifests as the entities within every atom. So he manifests also as the Shivadakashai Vishnu, which is the super soul within every atom. So there's the living entity there, which is also a manifestation of the Lord. And also the super soul is there accompanying every living entity in every atom. So like that, the Lord enters. This is what it means when he says that he enters into the creation. Into every aspect of the creation, the Lord is there. And that keeps it going. At the same time, he's aloof from it. He doesn't enter. And how he doesn't enter, this is explained here. Om Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Prati Bhavitabis Tabirya Eva Nijarupataya Kalabhi Goloka Eva Nivasachak Yakilatma Bhuto Govinda Madhi Purusham Tamahambajami. That I worship the personality of God at Govinda, whom by the expansion of his internal potency of transcendental existence, knowledge, and bliss, enjoys his own and expanded forms, simultaneously enters into every atom of the creation. So the second part we just talked about, how he simultaneously enters. But the first part, that he enjoys his own energy by his own expansion. So in the spiritual world, the Lord is eternally there. So that's how he is outside, because he never leaves Goloka Vrindavan. He's there in the spiritual world in his original form, and he has his expansions that he enjoys with. For example, Nanda Maharaj is his own expanded energy. Mother Yashoda, also his own expanded energy. Srimati Radharani, his expansion also for pleasure, the gopis, the gopas, and everything in the spiritual world are all expansions of the Lord's energy. And he eternally enjoys those pastimes. But in his expanded form as these Vishnus, that's how he enters into the cosmic creation, into the atom, every atom. So like that, he's in the creation, and at the same time he's outside, because he's eternally enjoying with his own expanded energy into the spiritual world. So now, just give a glimpse of these two, the first two topics that we talked about, how the cosmos got manifested, and how the universal elements enter, and how they don't enter, they do not, and how the Lord entered the creation, and how he does not. And now, he also indicates the process for understanding his energies and his activities. So, as stated in verse 31, I can go back to that. Devotees have already spoken that. So verse 31 says that the personality of God had said, knowledge about me as described in the scripture is very confidential, and it has to be realized in conjunction with devotional service. The necessary paraphernalia for that process is being explained by me. You may take it up carefully. So here's the key, that knowledge about me as described in the scripture is very confidential, and it has to be realized in conjunction with devotional service. So this is the key here, that the only way one can understand the Lord and his activities is by bhakti yoga, is by devotional service. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, only by the process of undivided devotional service can I be understood as I am. So, and here, Lord Brahma is quoting that we can say together, Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilochanena Chanta Sadaiva Ridayeshu Vilokayanti Yam Shama Sundaram Achincha Gunaswarupam Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. And here's the translation. I worship the original personality of God at Govinda, whom the pure devotees, their eyes smeared with the ointment of love of Godhead, always observe within their hearts. This Govinda, the original personality of Godhead, is Shama Sundar with all transcendental qualities. So, here it's described that how does the devotee develop this vision and understand all these activities? It's only by unalloyed devotional service, that there is no other process. So, by this, and then Srila Prabhupada explained here that even the mental speculators, the impersonalists, by their process they cannot understand. And the Lord reserves, as for mukti liberation, Krishna gives that easily. But himself, he doesn't. Why? Because when Krishna awards devotional service to someone, awards bhakti, then, not sure, maybe he didn't plan well, but his condition when he gives one bhakti is that he becomes sold out to that devotee. And that devotee takes control of the Lord. So that's how strong bhakti is. So he doesn't give that very easily, because once he gives that, then that devotee captures him within their hearts. And they take control. And he follows that devotee in doing everything. Like there's that verse in the 11th canto, 11, 14, 16, that the Lord, by the dust from the lotus feet of his pure devotees, that he purifies the whole material world. So like that, the Lord becomes conquered. So anyway, these are some short points I have on this verse because we have more to speak on. I'll stop there. So today is also the disappearance day of Parameshwar Das Thakur, which we read a little synopsis of his life this morning for after Mangalarti. I just give a very, very brief synopsis here again, is that Parameshwar Das Thakur was a very close associate of Lord Chaitanya. It's described that he was the fifth Gopal in Krishna Leela by the name of Arjun. He was very closely connected with Lord Nityananda, and he was very close with him. They were always together. And he was also a very close servant of Janaka Mata, who is the wife of Lord Nityananda. And whenever she would go out on preaching activities, on many occasions, he followed her, he went with her, and executed her instructions, which includes installing deities. One time, by her instruction, he brought Radharani all the way to another part, a very far away, personally carrying Srimati Radharani for the installation. So like that, he's a very close associate. And then today is also the appearance of Sri Madhavendra Puri, the appearance of Srinivas Acharya, and the appearance of their lordships Radharaman Deity. So Madhavendra Puri, as we all know, is the grand spiritual master of Lord Chaitanya, he being the spiritual master of Ishwar Puri, who is the spiritual master of Lord Chaitanya. And he's a very great personality. So one day he was in Vrindavan in the Govardhan area, as he does his travels, and there is this one boy who used to bring milk for him every day. He would bring milk, give it to him, and then he disappears. So he asked the boy, why are you doing this? Why are you bringing milk and who are you? He said, oh, I'm a cowherd boy in this village, and in this village no one goes hungry, so I'm bringing you milk every day. And then one night he had a dream. The same boy came in his dream and he recognized him as the Supreme Lord Krishna, who directed him that his deity form, Gopal deity, has been covered in the bushes and buried in the dirt here on Govardhan for many years due to the invasion of the Muslims. So please take me out from here and again establish the proper worship. So I'll just summarize it very briefly. So he arranged all the village people. They went, they found the deities as per the direction in his dream. They found the deity, they installed, they had a huge Anakut ceremony. And Madhavendra Puri established the worship of Gopal. So then one night Gopal told him that because he was buried so long, his body is very hot. So please go to Jagannath Puri and get me some sandalwood so you can cool my body. And from Vrindavan to Jagannath Puri is quite some distance. And some or the other, I think they ran out of gas or something, so the cars weren't working, so he had to walk. And the internet was also down, so he couldn't make any communication. No internet, no Wi-Fi. Yeah. So anyway, he went that long distance, and he acquired about 80 kilos, which is quite a lot, and by then he was very old. And he was coming back, so the Lord dreamt him again and said, you can stop right here at Ramuna and offer this chandan to my different form here as Gopinath, because we are non-different. And we also know the story of how, when he was there, how Gopinath, Lord Gopinath stole the keel, hid it behind his chadar in the altar, and dreamt the pujari and asked him to go and give it to this Madhavendra Puri. So He woke up, the pujari woke up, went into the altar at night. He found the kheer was there indeed. Because Madhavendra Puri, after he saw that elaborate worship of Gopinath, and he saw these nice items that are being offered, he desired that if I can taste this sweet rice, then I can know how to prepare it for my Gopal deity also. So the Lord made this arrangement. In short, we're just going to very briefly summarize. He made this arrangement. So he got that, and at that point he became pretty popular. Everyone learned that this is such a great personality. The Lord is personally communicating and reciprocating with him. So then he was leaving, because so many people were coming, so he didn't want to bother and get straight. So he was leaving, and this was a story that was told. I tried to search for the reference, I didn't quite find it. So, but it's described that, I hope I got it right, that as he was going, Lord Jagannath approached him, the Jagannath deity, and says, you know, don't go yet, that I want to enjoy some of these nice jackfruit. Koa, jackfruit, I think you call it here. Yeah. And so Madhavendra Puri said, well, where am I going to get that from? That I'm a mendicant, you know, I have no money, no nothing. He said, no, don't worry that. Let us go and we'll go into the king's orchard at night and we'll steal it. So Madhavendra Puri said, are you kidding me? I'm a sannyasi, I don't do those things, you know, I'm a sadhu. That's immoral. He said, no, but this is more enjoyable. Let's go and everything will be fine. So he said, no, that, you know, the guards can catch us, this is going to be embarrassing. He said, no, don't worry, I'll arrange everything that you go up on the tree, you pick the jackfruit, drop it, I'll be on the fence, I'll watch for the guards, I'll catch it, and then we can both get away. So he convinced Madhavendra Puri to do this. So Madhavendra Puri went in the dead of night, went up on the tree, and he picked and he said, you're ready, I'm going to drop it now. He said, okay. And as he dropped it, Jagannath, in his little form, jumped off the fence and let it crash to the ground and make this huge noise. And all the guards came. He ran away and they caught Madhavendra Puri on the tree. So they brought him to the king that, okay, here's a person who have probably been stealing all your jackfruits all the time. So then the king looked at him and he recognized that because now he became popular, everyone knows of his great personality. And he said, why didn't you ask me that out of everything else, why did you come to steal it? You could have asked me for it. Then he revealed what this naughty Krishna did to him, this Jagannath. And like that, the Lord exposes devotee, make him more popular, make him more famous, like that. So anyway, also, today is also the appearance of the Radharaman deity and also the appearance of Srinivasacharya. So there is some relation, so I blend the two together in the matter of trying to save time. So Srinivasacharya, his parents was Gangadhar and Lakshmi Devi. They were very simple but very dedicated devotees, very prominent. So much so that Lord Chaitanya recognized their devotion so well. So one day, they decided to go to Jagannath Puri to visit Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so news went to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so he made elaborate preparations, nice facilities, to receive this very honored devotee, these very honored guests. Just like we see that we would do when devotees come, and especially senior devotees, we make special preparations, special arrangements for them. So it's nothing new. So when they went to Jagannath Puri, Lord Chaitanya told them to go and take darshan of the Jagannath deity. So when they went there to take darshan and they came back, before they came back, Lord Chaitanya told his devotees, he says, I am none different from Jagannath, so I understood what they went and prayed for. that this devoted couple, they don't have a child, and they pray to Lord Jagannath to get an able son. So therefore, I'm going to fulfill that desire because I'm no different from Jagannath. So when they pray to Lord Jagannath, they're praying to me also. So that I'm going to fulfill that desire. And this son would be named Srinivas. So like that, they came back, they visited Lord Chaitanya, they visited all the devotees, went back in due course of time. Lakshmi Priya became pregnant, and Srinivas was born. So upon so doing, Lord Chaitanya had instructed that this Srinivas would be a very special personality, that I have instructed and made arrangement for the Goswamis to reestablish all these Vedic literatures, to establish devotional service, to establish all the lost places. And now I'm arranging that this Srinivas, along with two of his dear friends and devotees, to distribute this literature. So that was already pre-arranged by Lord Chaitanya. And he had already given instruction to Srila Sanatana and Srila Rupa Goswamis to instruct this child in devotional service. So as Srinivas was growing up, his parents were very staunch devotees of Lord Chaitanya. And from birth, he already had that blessing, just like Prahlad Maharaj we learned yesterday, how much, you know, he already had the blessings and devotion before birth. So similarly, Srinivas was the same. He had all these blessings. Actually, it's described that he was Guna Manjari in Krishna's pastimes. So he became very devoted, and he developed a strong desire as he was a little boy to go to visit Lord Chaitanya. But he made a few mistakes, like many of us do in our devotional service, that, you know, sometimes you have your focus, but then you get distracted and you stray from that focus. So he wanted to go and visit Lord Chaitanya. But on his way, he was stopping to visit all these devotees, all these great devotees of the Lord. So let's wait till Karagraj Prabhu finishes mingling. Okay. So yes, so he was stopping on the way to visit all these devotees to get their blessings and to pay obeisances. And in so doing, he got distracted, lapse of time, and by the time he reached Jagannath Puri, Lord Chaitanya had left the planet. So he was very devastated. So then the other devotees informed him that Lord Chaitanya had instructed Sri Sanatana Goswami and Sri Rupa Goswami to guide him in devotional service so that he should go to Vrindavan. So then he starts making his way to Vrindavan. On so doing, again, he got diverted and distracted. He was visiting different holy places, visiting great devotees, taking their darshan. So by the time he reached Vrindavan, what happened? Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami had already also left the planet. So on the way, he met his instructing guru, Narahari Sakar. And he was taking instructions from him, so he decided to go. So when he went to Vrindavan, Lord Chaitanya had also instructed Jiva Goswami and Gopalak Bhatta Goswami to give instructions to Srinivas Acharya and guide him. So when he went there, Jiva Goswami, as the devotees introduced that this personality came, Jiva Goswami was anticipating, Gopal Bhatta Goswami was anticipating his arrival, so they accepted him and they started giving guidance. So anyway, so to tie in Radharman pastime here now, Gopal Bhatta Goswami was one of the persons who became his his actual Diksha Guru. So Gopal Bhatta Goswami, one night he had a dream. The Lord dreamt in and said that if you want my darshan, go to Nepal. And to this river, you go there and you'll get my darshan. So Gopal Bhatta Goswami went there. And when he went to this river to take bath. So he dipped his water pot into the river. And when he pulled it up, he saw Shalagram Shilas in there. These stones are there. So he was thinking, no, this is a coincidence. So he dropped it back. And when he dipped a second time, they were there again. And again he dropped it. And then for a third time, he dipped and he found 12 Shilas in there. And then he understood, this is no ordinary arrangement. This is a direct arrangement of the Lord. So therefore, I should worship these Shalagram Shilas. So he took them in his clock and came back to Vrindavan. And he was worshiping them. So at that point, there was one rich merchant, one sect, came and says, look, I have these beautiful clothing that you can use to dress your deities. So then Gopal Bhatta Goswami says, well, I thank you very much for this, your nice gesture, but what I have are Shilas, and you know, these clothing can't fit them, so please give it to somebody else. So this merchant insisted, no, that I want you to take them. So then that developed a desire in Gopal Bhatta Goswami's heart that he desired, well, okay, I want to use this clothing to actually dress my deities. So it was Narsingha Chaturdasi, like yesterday, that he was praying in his, you know, he was thinking and praying to the Lord, oh, please, just like you manifested as Lord Narsingadev out of the blues, please manifest yourself so that I can dress you nicely and worship you nicely with this clothing and nice paraphernalia and so forth. So, as usual, he would put the Shalagram Shilas in a wicker basket, cover them in a cloth, and put them to rest. So the next morning, that's the day after, which is today, the day after Narsingha Chaturdasi, when he opened the basket, he was surprised that the 11 Shilas were there as they were, but one of them had manifested in this little deity of Krishna. He burst open from the Shalagram Shila and manifested. So that's how the deity Radharaman got manifested. And then Gopal Bhatta Goswami was worshipping these deities. It is said that at the back of the deity, if you look at the backside of the deity, you'll see the formation of a Shalagram Shila is still there from which it bursts out. And at one point, some scientists came because they were questioning the Indian mythology, they say. Excuse me, that's going on. That is probably not true. That's probably not true that they're saying that these deities are manifested. So they are scientists and they came, so with the guidance of the devotees, they experimented and they did careful examination of the deity, and then they concluded that yes, they are manifested, that there are no marks of carvings that someone's carved these deities. I guess those who are expert, they can figure whether something was carved or not carved. So then, like that. So anyway, these deities were there, they are manifested, and Gopal Bhatta Goswami were worshipping them. So when Srinivas Acharya came, and this young Srinivas, at that time he was still a teenager, not married, he came and he took shelter of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. So Gopal Bhatta Goswami instructed that you can worship these deities that take care of this Radharaman deity. So also, so when you look at, if you look at the Radharaman deity, what would you see? Like we have Radhasham Sundar, you know, we have Sitaram, Lakshmi Narayan. So Radha Raman means two personalities, Radha and Ramanji. But it was only It is only the Krishna deity that's there. So it's stated that if you look on the altar at the Radharaman temple, on the right, which is Krishna's left, there is a space there, and that space is for Radharani. So how it came to name Radharaman, this deity, it's also a mystery that that the acharyas didn't describe, that why they're named Radharaman. But that's the name of the deity, Radharaman. So anyway, so Srinivas Acharya, Srinivas was initially instructed to take care of these deities, but then he was sent back by Jiva Goswami and Gopal Bhatta Goswami to go back to take care, because his father had passed away and his mother was there at Jajigram. So to visit his mother and to go and take darshan and the blessings of all these devotees, and also to take the books of the Goswamis and distribute them. So that was the first Sankirtan party. So when he went under the guidance of Jiva Goswami, he met two other prime personalities there, divine personalities. That's Shyamananda Prabhu and Narottam Das Thakur. And they are all different other pastimes of those two personalities. So anyway, the three of them were deputed to come to bring these books back to Bengal and start the Sankirtan movement. So when they came to a place called Vishnupura. So this Vishnupura, it was ruled by a king who was very materialistic. Veer Mahavir. And he had astrologers and he had people that would predict whoever is coming through into his kingdom, and whoever have jewelries and treasures and everything to capture them. So these astrologers, when these three personalities were passing through, they were actually coming with guards. They had 12 guards with them, two brahmanas, and these three saintly persons, along with a bullock cart with this trunk of books. So the astrologers predicted that they read and they said, oh, in this bullock cart, in this box, it's the greatest treasure. So the king said, okay, I'm going to get the greatest treasure. He instructed his dacoits to follow and arrest them. So they followed and they took them. They stole all the books because they had about 200 guards. So these 12 guards that were with Srivas and Narottam and Shyamananda, they were no match to the 200 dacoits. So they took the books away, and that way, these three devotees, they were very devastated, because those were all the books they had, those were all the copies. They didn't have printing machines then that they can duplicate and so forth. So Srinivas told them that the two of you go on to Bengal and explain to the devotees what happened, and he's going to stay here to retrieve these books. So long story short, he stayed there back in Vishnupur, and eventually met the king. And when the king, before the king met him, the king opened this treasure box, and what he saw were books instead, and he saw the signature of Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. And he was thinking, what is this treasure that they're talking about? But these books are so potent that the mere association of these books, as many of us, how we came to this movement, I know that's how I came to this movement, by getting a book and by love's looking and reading 5 pages of that book the first day, that's what changed me. So the king got a change of heart. And then they met, and in so doing, Srinivas, even as a young teenage boy, he made the king and the entire kingdom of Vishnupur devotees. They actually became his disciples. And so, like that, he started his preaching mission. So he was a very, very vibrant preacher. As a matter of fact, afterwards, he got married. They requested him to get married. And then they requested him to get married for a second time, for a second wife. So he had two wives. And so his first wife, who was Draupadi, and she had three daughters. So Draupadi and her three daughters all became gurus. They were accepting disciples. They were preaching vigorously. So like that, Srinivasacharya became so prominent. And he was preaching tremendously all over. So this is just a very short synopsis. There's much more to it. But in the essence of time, it's already 7 minutes past the hour. I have a meeting at 9 o'clock. So anyway, so are there any questions or comments? Very briefly. If not, I guess we can stop. Trivikram.